present meditation is on the shepherds. And again, we shall apply our reflections to our own consecrated life. As we know, the angel appeared to the shepherds, watching over their flock by night. You see, sheep need to be fed even during the night. The angels, by definition, are messengers. An angelus is a messenger. And of all the people in Palestine to whom the angels were sent, they were sent to the shepherds. Poor, simple, hard-working people tending their sheep at night. Before we say anything else, this is the key to receiving communications from God in order to come to know Jesus Christ and proclaim Him to the world. First, we are told by Saint Luke that the angels, having given their announcement to the shepherds, well, they went back to heaven. Their mission was accomplished. But watch it. Their mission was accomplished because they were confident that these poor, hard-working shepherds, taking turns so they get some sleep while others tended the sheep, the angels left because their mission was accomplished. Gabriel came to Zechariah, passed on the message, angel went back to heaven. Gabriel to Our Lady, gave her the message, she received it, he went back to heaven. Now the shepherds, because there were so many of the shepherds, there had to be, well, a host of angels. As we review Christ's life on earth, from beginning to end, he was attended by the angels. It was an angel who announced Mary conceiving her divine Son. It was an angel, as we've just seen, who announced to the shepherds the birth of Jesus. It was an angel who warned first the Magi and then Joseph to flee to Egypt. It was an angel who told Mary and Joseph to return to Nazareth. It was an angel who consoled Jesus first. It was an angel who strengthened Jesus during his temptation by the devil. It was an angel who strengthened Jesus during his agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. It was an angel on Christ's resurrection, who told first the holy women, then the apostles, that Jesus had risen from the dead. It were angels who, when Christ ascended to heaven, reassure them he will come back and come back in his glory. There are certain major themes I wish to leave with you during these 8 days. This is one. Cultivate devotion to the angels. It is not for nothing that I have chosen to have an office at the national headquarters of the Opus Angelorum. St. Ignatius, as I never tire repeating, his understanding of God's both teaching us and guiding us being normally through his angels. Whatever we can do as a fruit of this retreat, I strongly recommend the handmaids of the precious blood begin to cultivate a strong, simple devotion to the angels. The angels, therefore, in our lives are part of the providence of God. Now the shepherds. The shepherds, after the angels left, had a little meeting. They met among themselves, and you may be sure, as my mother was shepherdess in Europe, told me, you never leave the sheep alone. Never. They are so stupid. So, simple and unsuspicious. You had to leave them. So, it's not of the Gospels, but part of our church's tradition. The shepherds took their flock to Bethlehem. And they decided to go in and see what the angel had announced to them. I keep repeating, 50 years in the priesthood have dealt with thousands of people. In general, they can be divided into two classes. The simple, unquestioning believers and, calculating the uncertain, the intellectuals, the doubters. Sisters, please remember this imperative. Never for a moment harbor a single doubt against your faith. Never. Any doubt, remember, is not a denial. A doubt is, a reserved affirmation. Maybe it's true, maybe it isn't. Let us go to Bethlehem, they said to each other. And all the evidence point out, And the church tradition tells us all the shepherds went, and as I've just said, and all the sheep with them. Let us go over and see. Notice they were told to go and see. And so they went. And Luke, as I've said so many times, Luke is the evangelist of haste. People run. And the verb in Greek is run. Our Lady ran about 15 years old. Mary ran to visit her cousin Elizabeth. The shepherds here went in haste. Thanks. They ran. And the sheep must have wondered to themselves, what's coming off? And they ran because they were carrying out a directive they had received from heaven. What an examination of conscience we can make in how slow we can be in responding to an inspiration from God. They find Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, and one look around, this is a stable. There's a trough called, in poetic language, a manger. And Our Lady must have, maybe Joseph, pushed the animals aside to give Mary a chance to lay the Christ child on the straw. They found Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And how this needs to be recorded. The advisor says, the moment they saw, they believed. The first visit to the Blessed Sacrament. Our Lord in the Holy Eucharist is hidden. But we believe. They saw a helpless child and they believed he was the Messiah foretold by the prophets. I'll have to be careful what I will say in the next few sentences. But since my ordination, all my teaching has been in colleges, universities, graduate schools. I trust I've done some good. But when God became man and was born in Bethlehem, he chose not the learned Pharisees or Sadducees, the academicians of the Jewish religion, chose simple, and we may safely say, unlettered shepherds. I'm saying much more than my words imply. I firmly believe one of the main reasons for the massive crisis in the Catholic Church today the empty seminaries. 90% of all Catholic schools in the United States have closed. I may have told you, the not too large Diocese of Pittsburgh is planning this year to close 49 parishes. Thank God for being in, well, secluded security here in the mountains. There's a massive revolution, widespread loss of faith. During my 5 weeks in Calcutta, in the little spare time the sisters gave me, I worked on the manuscript. Cody C. Wands, at least a national, if not international, system of Eucharistic education organized. And, as I think I've told you, I'm planning on a computer summa of the Catholic faith. And like St. Thomas Aquinas in the 13th century, we need a lot of heretics. Sisters, this is a request. Would you please provide me with heretics? Clear, one, two-sentence paragraph, heretical teaching. One thick book on the Eucharist. And by Aridius, an oblate of Mary Immaculate. 300 pages, every single paragraph, almost every sentence was outright clear, unqualified heresy. No real presence, no sacrifice of the Mass. Page after page after page. How thrilled I was to read. And I read the full story last night at my dinner next door. It was excommunicated. Deo gratias. What the church needs is not, well, high degreed doctorates in theology. She does not need academic sophisticates. She needs simple, believing people. Once the shepherds saw, we are told, they believed. And most important, as soon as they saw Jesus, they believed, and then they spread the news to everyone in the neighborhood and the confines of Bethlehem. Sisters, we have the responsibility for sharing the Word of God. We'll have to discuss this. And I discussed this with the Mother John Paul this morning. I would like to have, before the retreat is over, at least one meeting at which we will discuss. I'm asking you to provide, I mean provide in writing, concrete, specific ways of how the handmaids of the precious blood can spread, how you can get stable vocations. They're there, I tell you, they're there. and the need for you handmaids, my lives of prayer and sacrifice, to inspire priests to share their faith. When I watch, as I painfully do, priests by the hour, 7 to 10, 11, every night, aloft, watching a television program, I say to myself, my God, the shepherds teach us that the truth we possess must be shared, and how we must pray that priests might have the zeal to share their faith. I'll never forget when I made my 30-day retreat after ordination and before final vows, and I read that St. Alphonsus Liguori took a vow not to waste a moment of time. I won't tell you what I did, but I want to assure you, Alphonsus inspired me to never waste a moment of time, soul starving to know Jesus Christ. Now the Blessed Virgin. When the shepherds came to Bethlehem, they found Our Lady with the Christ child, no doubt, in her arms, and Joseph standing at her side. Mystical words. St. Luke says, Mary treasured all these events and reflected on them in her heart. What a difference between Mary, the quiet, meditative Mother of God. We'll talk about silence before this retreat is over. But silence, as I've said so many times, is selective conversation. Can you imagine Mary being engaged in any other conversation than with the divine Son? And hear it. This is gospel truth, unlike a newborn human child. Jesus had the full possession of his faculties. He understood what Mary was saying. The best explanation the church gives us is that Christ grew, surely grew, in wisdom through experiential knowledge, but he understood, even as a man. Can you imagine a human nature hypostatically united with the Word of God, forming one divine person, and that human nature not understanding how well Mary knew, but hear it, on faith, she believed who her son was. She believed when she spoke to him, he understood what she was saying. And the lesson I trust you've all done this. It is well to make an index, shall I say, a collection of the great spiritual events in our lives. The insights we've received from the Lord. What we read that changed our lives. What we heard that affected our thinking and our lives until the end of time. There are ordinary times of communication, no extraordinary times of communication. And the most extraordinary times of communication from God are during silent, quiet prayer. Insights I've received that have become the treasury of my life. And now, the shepherds again. This is St. Luke. He keeps coming back to the shepherds. He tells us they saw and believed. A simple faith. And the simple faith is an unquestioning faith. We will need, dear Lord, the gift of an unquestioning faith. And how do you cope with temptations against the faith? First of all, you ignore them. Secondly, you ask our Lord to enlighten you to more deeply understand what is raising difficulties in your life. We are to grow in our faith. I've said this once, I know I must have said it 50 times. It is especially contemplative religious communities that need to grow in their understanding of the faith. And we have a meditation before this retreat is over, just on writing. Write. As I've said so many times, I watch too many people talking. Most people can talk without thinking. You cannot write without thinking. You can scribble, you can scroll, but you cannot write. Understand your faith and watch it. The effort you expend in understanding your faith and your focus in the apostolate is the sanctification of priests. And there is no sanctification of priests without priests deepening their faith. And you obtain for priests, hear it, the zeal to go in their understanding of the faith by your spending yourselves in grasping the deeper, clearer, more certain grasp of what God has once and for all revealed. I'll repeat this, though I must have said it by now a dozen times. The 13th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, remember? The first fruitless seed falling, remember, on the wayside. When the disciples asked the Master, what does that mean? And he said, they are those who, having received the faith in their hearts, watch it, fail to understand it, semicolon, and therefore, the evil spirit comes along and steals the faith from their hearts. What joy it is for me periodically, priests, 15, who knows how many, gather in a distant city, and they fax me a list of their problems and difficulties, and all touch on the faith. So we explain. They keep asking questions. I explain again. I recommend what they should read. I recommend they're meditating and asking the Lord, Lord, help me to understand. And the shepherds, we're still on the shepherds. That's where Luke closes the gospel. And they went away from Bethlehem, glorifying God and praising Him. And what did they do? They followed the directive of the angels. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which is meant for all the people. Sisters, nothing we have received from God is meant to be hugged just for ourselves. And you may be surprised, there was such a thing as sharing. What a safe statement, at a distance. Your effort to grasp your faith more clearly and deeply, and your praying of the priests of God will then correspondingly grasp their faith more clearly and deeply. Sisters, you don't have to write, I don't say, a book. You don't have to write a page, though I do encourage you to write, at least for your own deeper grasp of what you believe. We communicate, hear it, by wanting to communicate. In other words, our will, our intention, to have others know their faith more deeply, but get the condition, we must know our faith more deeply ourselves. Our intention, our desire to have others learn their faith more profoundly, this, hear it, is the heart of communicating knowledge. As I've said before, the angels don't have lips. They make no sound with their mouths. Angels have no ears. And yet the angels engage in conversation. How do they do it? Pardon me, like we are doing it here. Am I making this strange syllabic noises in the air. And I hope with this machine, can you hear me? Even in the back, can you hear me? That has nothing to do with the communication of spirit to spirit. Communication of spirit to spirit is in the wheel wanting to communicate and choosing with whom we wish to communicate. And spatial distance, sisters, hear it, has nothing to do with it. And the angels promised the shepherds, I bring you tidings of great joy. What is the great joy? The great joy is the good news of God becoming man, of God teaching mankind what we need to know. God as man telling us how we are to behave. And all we have to do, that's all, listen to his words and follow his directives and we'll be happy. And my friends, and nobody else is. The tidings of great joy are the tidings of the Christian faith believed. As we've said more than once, peace of heart is the joy of knowing the truth, and millions are starving for the truth. That's peace of mind. Peace of heart is the experience of doing God's will. What is God's will? What God became man to reveal to us. We do that ourselves and then intend. And look, that's what the angels are for. We cannot move through space the way the angels can. There are no angelic airlines, no telephones. No computer communication among the angels. Those are the toys that we poor human beings still have to use. Never suspect that you cannot communicate with the whole wide world, thousands of miles away. We have the means of doing so because we believe there is a world of the Spirit which is and hear it. Spirit is independent of time and space. Period. Close the book. And then the promise. And the shepherds knew what the angels were telling them. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to men of good will. the only authentic Kathy translation of those words. What is a good will? A good will is one that is always disposed to do the will of God. And the peace is beyond human calculation. And I see this with all my heart, a foretaste of heaven. Lord Jesus, we thank you for having the angels sent by your Father to tell the shepherds that you were born. We thank you for the grace that you gave the shepherds to spontaneously go in haste to where you were born. We thank you for giving the grace to the shepherds the moment they saw you, a helpless child, in his mother's arms. They believed that you are the Messiah and the living God. Jesus, keep us simple. Keep us humble. Keep us low in our own estimation, so that like the shepherds, we too may believe, and believing, spread your word of salvation to a world that is starving for your word and dying of thirst for your love. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.